Chapter 6. My heart hammered in my chest as I watched the orcs approach. Even though there were only a few dozen of the fuckers, their footsteps were thunderous as they made their way across the mountainside. Their footfalls were quick and sporadic, almost as if they were scuttling. "Holy shit," I gasped. That wasn't the orcs' footsteps I was hearing. It was the Murax. Now, I just needed to stay alive long enough for them to swoop in and kick some green ass. The first three orcs were on me in a flash. Two of them had took a swing at me with their wooden clubs, but I was able to dispel one and hop out of the way of the second blow. I jumped back as the third orc's blade swished past my throat by centimeters, and then I threw up my boot and kicked him in the stomach. The orc bastard doubled over in agony, so I wasted no time in taking him out while he was distracted. I drew my pink dagger, plunged it into the back of his neck, and watched him go limp as the blade cut through his spinal cord. Suddenly, one of the orc's clubs slammed into the back of my leg, and I went down on one knee as a wave of pain shot through every tendon in my lower body. Then I threw up my sword and blocked the attack of another club, before I stabbed my dagger into the attacking orc's foot repeatedly. He shrieked as blood splurted from what was left of his foot, and he fell backward in shock. I spun around just in time to dodge the attack of the remaining orc. Who the hell was I kidding? He wasn't the remaining orc. There were a whole fucking lot of remaining orcs. Still, I had to deal with him first. I parried his next attack, spun around so I was behind him, and then stabbed my dagger into the back of his body. The orc roared with pain before he threw back his foot and kicked me in the stomach. The air left my lungs as I stumbled backward, but I refused to let up. I threw myself onto the orc's back and grappled his head back to expose his throat. Once he was exposed, I ran my dagger across his green flesh and sent a spray of crimson out into the night air. As I jumped off the orc and let his body fall to the ground, my fears were calmed instantly, because I could see the figures of mounted riders and their ants not far down the side of the mountain. And a water dragon. Nadir and Lazan's voices called out in unison, and my heart swelled with pride. I did it. I'd survived long enough for the cavalry to arrive. Now, we needed to make sure we finished these bastards off. I turned back to the incoming orcs, sheathed my dagger, and tightened my grip on my sea-glass sword with both hands. Then I waited. The mounted riders and George swished past me in an instant and got to work. George snatched up an orc in his massive jaws and shook the poor bastard around like a dog with a chew toy as he continued to run. The orc's body went limp in seconds, so George tossed it to the side and moved on to his next target. Meanwhile, I watched as Lazan and Nadir dismounted while still on the move. Both of the Kunag women sprang from the Murax they were on, and they delivered swift blows of death to their selected orcs. But the way they went about the death blows couldn't have been more different. Nadir turned her axe in her hand and then slammed the blunt end against the orc's face. His neck jerked at an awkward way atop his spine, and then his body went limp as he fell to the ground. Lazan, on the other hand, didn't use her axe at all. The Kunag woman with the black and white hair landed atop one of the orcs and brought him to the ground. And before he could even make a move, Lazan opened up her mouth and sank her teeth right into the bastard's face. She yanked her head upwards, and the entire right side of the orc's face came off with it. Blood sprayed Lazan as she went back in for seconds, but I couldn't even watch what happened next. As much as I loved my Kunag women, they were crazy as fuck sometimes. Another orc arrived at my position, so I locked swords with the bastard momentarily. While our blades were locked in a standoff, the orc gritted his teeth and growled as he tried to overpower me with his brute strength. His disgusting breath wafted into my nostrils, and it took every ounce of willpower in my body to keep down my dinner. With my free hand, I quickly drew my dagger and then stabbed it through the green bastard's eye. He screamed as he stumbled backward, and I finished him off with a quick slash across the throat.
"It's amazing, isn't it?"
Gandara's voice announced as the Morpho woman fluttered down beside me.
"What? The way I just killed this guy?"
No,
Kandara chuckled.
"The way that these Chera women fight! I never would have thought you could be so effective without using your own legs!"
I glanced over to observe what she was talking about. Rikuri was atop her Mirak, and she twirled her sword spear as the pair quickly gained on a few fleeing orcs. The hornless rhino woman cackled as she lashed out with her weapon and stabbed it right through the back of an orc's head. Then, without missing a beat, she flipped the sword spear in her hand and delivered a killing slash across another orc's throat. Then there was Ashanti, who was going full Legolas at the moment. The Chero woman had her legs firmly tightened around her mount, and her whole upper body was on a swivel. She shot an arrow straight through the eye of an orc before she turned 180 degrees, strung another projectile, and launched it into a second orc's chest. "Damn," I whispered to myself. The rest of the Chero women seemed to emulate the two warriors, though in much more subdued ways. They ran down their enemies without much effort, skewered them with their swords, or shot them with an arrow, and then moved on to the next one.
"I told you!"
Kandara laughed.
"It's like watching a pack of animals hunting their prey. If I didn't know any better... Actually, hold that thought!"
Kandara jumped into the air, caught herself on her wings, and flipped open her fan blade. The butterfly woman then shot over to two incoming orcs and landed on the ground behind them. And I watched with glee as Kandara stabbed the spine of her fan blade into one of the orc's throats and kicked him away. The blonde ducked down just as the second orc took a swing at her, twirled around in her crouched position, and dragged her spines across his leg. And there was a spray of crimson as Kandara sliced through the orc's leg muscles and brought him down to his knees. Actually, he didn't even get to his knees. As the bastard fell, Kandara stood up, turned her fan blade upward, and stabbed her top spine through the bottom of the orc's jaw. Gravity finished off the bastard, and his tongue flopped out of his mouth as he went limp. Once the deed was done, Kandara flew back over to me. "That was pretty impressive too, you know," I noted.
"Oh, that wasn't impressive?"
Kandara shook her head and then motioned across the battlefield.
"What Anora and Nima are doing is impressive. They aren't even on mounts."
I looked in the direction the Morpho woman was pointing and saw exactly what she was talking about. The Nerolope woman Nima and the healer Anora were both right in the middle of the fight, not on a mount and with nothing to protect them but the bows and arrows in their hands. Thankfully, that was more than enough for the two women. They moved across the battlefield like a pair of anxious meerkats. Their heads were constantly turning left and right as they looked for their next opponent, and neither of the women strayed more than a few feet apart from their partner. Not too far away from the archers were Darya, Zarya, and Mira, and the three Dragonkin warriors looked to be having a field day with the orcs as they fought 3-on-2 against the muscle-bound green fuckers. Their spears twirled like an acrobat's ribbon as they danced around their opponents and landed blow after soft blow. And finally, once the orcs were exhausted and injured, the warrior women finished them off with a quick stab. "All right, that is really impressive. But we can't lose sight of our mission. As much as I love watching these nasty fuckers bite the dust, we need to find the captured Chero women and save them before... Oh, there they are!" The orcs with the rhino women were quickly booking it up the slope of the mountain, and they were nearly at the peak.
"I'll try to cut them off,"
Kandara announced as she took to the sky. "I'll be right behind you. George, I need you, bud."
"On my way, dear one,"
George replied telepathically. I watched Kandara shoot up the mountain and land right in front of the two orcs. And the second they saw the butterfly woman, they tossed their unconscious prisoners to the ground and drew their weapons. The next thing I knew, I heard the sound of thundering footsteps behind me. And without even looking, I took off in a full sprint, inhaled sharply, and then jumped to the left. The timing was perfect as George arrived at my side right then and there. So I grabbed onto the water dragon's blue scales before I hoisted myself up onto his back and turned my attention back to the orcs. "Thanks for the lift, George," I mumbled as I set my sights on the kidnappers. "Now, let's take a page out of the Chero's playbook and run these sorry assholes down." George and I took out 3 more orcs as we charged, and soon we came up on Kandara and the 2 kidnappers. They appeared to be giving the Morpho woman all she could handle, since her graceful slashes didn't seem to be landing at all. Kandara could no sooner reorient herself to the orcs' attacks before they came at her with another one, and the golden-haired butterfly woman seemed beyond flustered. George let out an angry chuff as he opened his mouth wide, and one of the orcs turned around to face his new attacker, and then shit himself when he saw what he was facing. The orc turned to flee, but George snapped his jaws around the bastard's head before he could make a move. There was a wet crunch as George pulled the orc's head from his shoulders and trampled over his lifeless body. Then the dragon banked around, turned to the second orc, and spat the severed head straight at him. The head slammed into the orc's chest, bounced off, and rolled across the ground with a trail of viscera behind it. The second orc just stared at his friend's head with a shocked expression, though his expression turned to horror when Kandara slashed her fan blade across his throat. The orc fell to his knees as his blood spilled onto the rocky ground, and seconds later his body went limp and fell to the ground, dead. George slowed his momentum to a halt as we came up on the captured Chera women, until he had completely stopped in place. "Nice job, Kandara," I announced, as I jumped off the back of the water dragon and walked over to the butterfly woman.
"I couldn't have done it without you,"
Kandara smiled as she wiped a speck of blood from her pale cheek.
"Particularly you, George."
"All in a day's work, my friend,"
George said, with a bow of his big head. "The work's not done yet, I'm afraid," I sighed, and pointed to the bound Chera women. "I need you to take these two back down the mountain. Get them to one of the Chero healers as quickly as you can."
"Are you sure?"
the water dragon questioned.
"Don't you need me up here?"
"We do," I nodded. "But saving their lives is way more important right now. We'll be fine, George. Just get these women back to safety." George frowned, but he nodded to let me know he understood. Then the blue-scaled water dragon got down on his knees and bent his head down so we could load the unconscious women up. Kandara grabbed one Chera woman, and I grabbed the other. We carried them over to George, laid them across his back like they were a deer that had just been hunted, and then watched as he stood back up and turned away. George let out a final sad chuff before he took off down the side of the mountain. As we watched him go, I realized the battle was starting to turn in our favor. The mountainside was littered with orc bodies, and the seemingly endless flow of reinforcements had now subsided. Really, the only thing keeping the orcs in this fight were their siege engines. That was going to have to change. Somehow, the orcs continued to keep Tyrion on his toes, and the silver dragon had yet to land a finishing blow with his fire breath on either of the remaining pieces of weaponry. "Want to help me take out those machines?" I asked Kandara with a grin.
"Is that really a question?"
she chuckled. Both of us held our weapons at the ready and then dashed up the side of the mountain. We weren't far from the peak, so we arrived at the top in no time flat. From this vantage point, I could gauge the situation much clearer. And down at the very bottom of the other side of the mountain sat what appeared to be a small orc camp. That must have been where all the reinforcements were coming from. There were three orcs who manned the remaining siege engines, one to pull the trigger and two to load projectiles. They all looked like they were sweating bullets, and their attention was so focused on the fire-breathing dragon before them that they didn't even notice Kandara and I. Good. That was going to make this next part a whole lot easier. We charged at the ballista operators at full speed, and they finally turned to acknowledge us. Too little, too late. I lashed out with my sea-glass sword and sent the first orc's head straight up into the air. As his decapitated body fell to the ground, I drew my dagger, turned to the second approaching orc, and threw it right in the center of his brow. The orc's eyes rolled back as he stopped dead in his tracks and collapsed to the ground. When I looked back at Kandara, I saw the Morpho woman drive one of her fan blade spines into the orc's eye. He screamed as blood squirted from his now empty eye socket, but Kandara silenced him with a quick slash across his neck.
"Hey!" one of the orcs over on the net-throwing machine barked. "What the hell's going on over there, Backlaw? Why did you—"
The orc's words caught in his throat when he looked over at the ballista, and his whole body went rigid with terror, almost as if it took him a second to register what was about to happen.
"Run!"
one of the net-loading orcs cried out as he began to run away. It was far too late. Tyrion's fire breath came down on the net-launching machine and completely burnt it to ashes. The orcs tried to scream, but their lungs were incinerated before they could make a sound.
"Phew!"
Tyrion grumbled as he came down and landed atop the mountain's peak.
"Thanks for that. My wings are exhausted from all that dodging I was doing."
"Don't mention it." I smiled at the silver dragon, and then I looked down at the battle happening below. The few orcs who remained must have known they were toast, because they attempted to flee away from the fight and up toward the mountaintop. Little did they know what awaited them up there. Tyrion began to blast each orc who tried to flee with a quick, short burst of his flames. Soon the remaining orcs stopped trying to escape, though they were quickly struck down in battle by my crewmates and the Chero women. Within a few minutes, the battle was over.
"We did it! Oh, we fucking did it! The orcs are done!"
"Not quite,"
Gandara reminded me.
"They're still at camp down at the bottom of the mountain."
Tyrion, I looked over at the silver dragon. "Do you think you can handle that?"
"As long as they don't have another one of those giant bows and arrows, sure,"
the silver dragon declared. Tyrion floated up into the night sky, turned his attention down the side of the mountain, and then swooped down like a hawk that had zeroed in on his prey. There were a few flashes of white-hot fire that shone through the darkness, and then the dragon returned to us with the smoldering campsite in his wake.
"Wow,"
Kandara whistled.
"Maybe we should just let you take the lead from now on, Tyrion."
"I don't think so,"
Tyrion harumphed.
"Did you see the weapons those guys had? It's like they came prepared especially for me."
"That's because they did come prepared especially for you," I explained to the fire-breathing dragon. "At least they came prepared for your kind. I don't think they knew we would be here in particular."
"Oh, yes, we did,"
a gruff voice weakly called out from behind me. I turned around and saw one of the orcs was still alive. He was slumped up against a boulder and quickly bleeding out, but he was still alive. I climbed down off the peak, walked over to the dying orc, and raised my sword to his throat.
"How? How did you know we'd be here?"
"We didn't. We just thought we were coming to an island full of dragons and shit. But then we saw the nice ship on the shoreline, and once we saw your ugly mug, I knew we were in for some fun."
"Not really,"
Mira growled as she approached.
"Your friends are all dead, and you'll be joining them soon."
"Oh, it sure is."
The orc smiled weakly.
"There's still a bunch more of us out there, Draco Rex. This was just a taste of what you and your sorry bitches are up against. But even if you do somehow defeat us, even if you somehow drive our kind off this island, we win."
"I'm sorry. I don't speak dumbass. You lost."
"No, we didn't,"
the orc said, before he coughed up more blood.
"We have your ship, Draco Rex."
My blood ran cold at the orc's words.
"Then we'll just have to take it back,"
Mira shrugged.
"We've done it before."
"That's right."
The orc completely ignored Mira and continued to taunt me.
"So, even if you win this battle, you've lost your ship. That thing is going to make a great addition to our fleet. Maybe the captain will have it be the one that's sent to your island first. It's got your flag after all. Maybe we'll just sail up to your shores without incident, and then once your women come out to greet us..."
I stabbed my sea glass blade through the bastard's brain before he dared finish that threat. The orc's eyes rolled back in his head as a bit of blood oozed from his mouth and dribbled down on his clothes.
"So, there are more of them?"
Batari questioned, as she and her people rode up to our position.
"Somewhere out there waiting to attack."
"Of course there are." I sighed and wiped the blood off my sword. "It's never that simple with these fucking guys. I bet they've got another camp out there, somewhere on the savannah, or probably on the beach."
"So, what do we do then?"
Zarya asked.
"Shall we go orc hunting?"
Nadir giggled.
"That sounds like my kind of activity."
"That's exactly what we're going to do. But we're going to have to do it differently this time. If there are as many orcs out there as that bastard claimed there were, we can't just run head-on straight into battle."
"I agree with the Draco Rex,"
Rikuri announced.
"The grass of our plains is not yet tall enough to conceal us. If we were to charge an entire encampment of those beasts, they would see us coming. So, what do you suggest then?"
Batari asked once more. "We're going to have to lure them out into the open. Then we'll pick them off at our leisure."
"Oh, boy. I know that look. That's the look Ben gets when he's coming up with a plan."
That's exactly what I was doing. These bastards might have been strong in numbers, but they were weak in the brain. And one thing was for sure, it would be a cold day in hell before I let them steal my beloved Dragon Queen.